The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Tomorrow's Bible study and Ask the Pastor will be pre-recorded, so phone lines will not be open tomorrow. This means this is your last chance in 2010 to ask the pastor. Otherwise, you have to wait till next year. That's a long time. Dr. Rick Mars will be our guest in Ask the Pastor tomorrow, New Year's Eve. Pastor Richard Boshoven will be our guest for Hosea chapter 11. And the guy who wins the opportunity to answer your questions here on the last live Ask the Pastor broadcast in 2011 is Pastor Mark Femmel, pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Is it still a busy time for you, or is it settled down now that Advent and Christmas are done?
Well, the congregation has settled down. I'm just about starting the class, as we talked about before, in the first week of January, so I am, other things are filling up my time.
No rest for the weary.
No rest for the holy.
I'm looking for a prophet here. The Rams going to beat the Seahawks Sunday night?
Well, if you want a definite, God's will be done.
Thank you. Very well played, very well played. Well, now, you're a fairly young guy. When did you graduate from the seminary?
2006.
So still kind of a youthful approach to the ministry, I'm sure. Not burned out like some guys yet. I hope not, anyway. And you are probably, being a young guy, more inclined to sit down at the computer. Do you have a smartphone?
No, not yet.
You don't?
No.
Well, you're like the rest of us dinosaurs.
I suppose so, yeah.
The cover of USA Today says 2010, the cover page, front page, says 2010 is the year we stopped talking. It says Americans are more connected than ever, just not in person. By the numbers, the percentage of Americans with cell phones and wireless, 93%. That would put you in the 7%. You are definitely not cool, Pastor Femmel.
Well, now, was that just smartphones, or was that wireless?
Percentage of Americans with cell phones and or wireless.
Well, no, I have a cell phone and a wireless network at home, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're...
Ooh, I thought I was going to get old.
Yeah, you're cooler than we thought.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is getting better as we go.
I'm in the top 93%. How about that?
The percentage of cell phone users with smartphones is just under 30%.
Oh, okay.
The number of mobile text messages sent from June of 2009 to June of 2010, 1.8 trillion. The number of mobile multimedia messages from June of 2009 to June of 2010, the number of mobile multimedia messages, 56.3 billion. And the percentage of global population, the percentage of global population with access to mobile networks is 90%.
Wow.
In light of the fact that we are so connected with cell phones and smartphones and text messages and everything else, USA Today is making the case that, in spite of all this, this is the year, 2010, we stopped talking. That's bad for radio. That's pretty much all I do here on the radio is talk. Does this concern you in any way? Is this a phenomenon that you ho-hum at, or does it give you concern?
Well, any significant trend is another opportunity for the gospel of Jesus to get out in a new and in a more powerful way. And, you know, one negative of that, it's obviously a big negative, is, you know, churches, if they depend on everything to be Sunday morning, it's becoming more and more difficult to get people to have that personal interaction on Sunday morning.
It is becoming more and more difficult.
Well, it is, yeah. However, that means the church's responsibility is to respond to the new fads and the new trends among the people and find some way to baptize and sanctify it. So, you know, for pastors and congregational leaders, one thing that we do here at Zion is I'm on Facebook probably once a day, sometimes more, sometimes slightly less. But we're constantly running our Facebook page and our internet page to make sure that this is when people run into the primary means of information that they're getting our best foot forward, as opposed to what somebody just kind of slapped together. You know, if somebody wants to use this other option of the website, it's just not the world. And if the church gets a jump on something like that, then the Lord is served all the more.
Well, it seems to me, and I'm an old guy, so maybe I'm just completely out of touch, I don't know. It seems to me that human interaction in the church, people talking, sharing with other people, is vital for the church to be a productive and faithful place.
Yep.
And if there is precious little of that, maybe lots of texting, maybe, hey, here's an email from Pastor Femmel, looks like they're going to have a new Bible study starting this weekend. That's great, and that's pretty much it. That's bad for the parish, isn't it?
Well, more than that, it's bad for the individual.
Well, but the individual doesn't think so. The individual thinks, yeah. Oh, this is great. You know, I don't really want to call Pastor Femmel, because when I call him, then he wants to ask me if I'll be on the so-and-so committee, and I won't call him. I'll just send him a text, or, you know, I'll send him an email, and then I don't have to talk to him. I can tell him what I need him to know, but he can't ask me any questions. It's great, but we're not talking anymore.
Yeah, and it's easy for people to kind of soft-pedal it that way, but... If I'm interested in talking to somebody about being a part of marriage retreat, or if I'm interested in talking to somebody about, you know, like we did in December, raking leaves, I can do that through a text or a Facebook message just as easily. But you definitely have a lot less committal conversations when you just go digital and not face to face or voice to voice communication. However, people are a lot more accessible now than they used to be. And you just got to find a way to monopolize on that accessibility. So when I had a bit more time, I used to do a daily devotion, and it took people 3 to 5 minutes a day just to read it. And it went out on an email, and it was very successful. People loved it, and when I stopped it, there were a number of people who were disappointed and who voiced their discontent, saying, "I know you're going to a different church, but you still need to do this." So it all depends. Although we are less interpersonal as far as vocal communication, I think we're actually much more connected.
So you disagree? Well, I haven't even really shared anything from the story here, but do you think that 2010 qualifies as the year we stopped talking?
Well, as far as like verbal sound wave communication, you know, it's been happening, and 2011 is going to be worse, or more so that, but I think we're actually more communicating and more interacting. You know, through Facebook, we've got about half our members on Facebook, and I can interact with them whenever they're near a computer, it's like an email system, but I can catch up what's going on in their lives. You know, they post whatever's going on in their life or whatever's going on in their corner of the world, and I can easily just reply to it at my convenience. And I think people are much more connected than they used to be. So gone are the days where people come over and talk with you for 5 hours, but you know, once a month. But if you talk to somebody 30 or 40 times a month, you're actually talking more.
Well, then the question becomes this. I know that you know this. I believe that it's not possible that there is a pastor somewhere who doesn't know this. Because you have to communicate to people in the most sensitive situations. The rest of us, we come in church, we say, good morning, how are you? There's somebody across the narthex who says, fine, how are you? And we say, fine, and then we go in and sit down. The truth is that neither one of us is necessarily fine, but we have some complications in life that are actually quite challenging. But none of us is going to say, well, actually, I've had a rough week, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to do that.
Right.
Now, one of the reasons we do that is that we know that communication can be challenging. Exchanging perspectives, sharing thoughts can be challenging. You can, in some cases, do the very best you can to communicate what it is you're trying to say, and somebody will still misunderstand it and maybe even see it in a completely backwards way. It's almost not worth the effort to try. And if we stop talking, and what they mean here in USA Today, I believe the year we stop talking is that face-to-face verbal exchange. If we stop talking, then we're probably going to be worse at it than we are now. And all of that suggests to me a big problem down the road, if not already here, for pastors. Agree or disagree?
Well, you know, people used to paint on the pretty faces, you know, 30, 40 years ago, too.
Well, sure. We all learned face-to-face how to put forward the impression that we wanted people to see. But at the end of the meeting or the end of the devotion or whatever it is, you're still stuck with the words that came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And you're still in a position where if somebody says something and you think it's wrong or you disagree and you say so, then that's all on the record. That's a different kind of dynamic than exchanging a couple of emails.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I'm trying to make the case that stopping interpersonal communication, verbal communication, face-to-face, or at minimizing it down to its bare minimum, is going to be culturally, I don't want to say catastrophic, but it's going to be bad. Because if we struggle to communicate when we're halfway good at it, just think how bad it's going to be if we stop doing it to the point where we don't even know how. And I think those days may be ahead. Now you,
if you look at you know what you're saying, you know if we continue to go down this path, then people will no longer be able to have face-to-face conversations with, you know, people around the world, or people at work. But if the world is now changing to be where people don't typically have face-to-face communications, then, you know, that's like somebody complaining that, you know, kids these days are going to have no idea how to churn butter. Although that is definitely a skill that one might use in some contexts, more and more the world is becoming the world where you don't churn your own butter. You just have digital interactions with people.
Yes. And you think that's okay?
Well, you know, change and what is new and what is unknown is certainly...
Are you saying, for example, let's just say that Pastor Femmel sets up a Bible study chat room,
mm-hmm,
where people from your church can sign in, they sign into the chat room, you approve their presence, so you know the rest of us losers, we can't get in there, but the people at Zion in Maryland Heights can sign into the chat room. And so Pastor Femmel produces a kind of a 3-minute devotion, the one that you talked about before that was so well received, and so you post your devotion in the chat room, and then at a given time, 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, people sign in and then they start to chat. Are you saying that that activity is as productive, is equivalent to if all those people would take the time to get in the car and drive to Zion, Maryland Heights, and sit in the basement, actually with their pastor, actually sit there with him, hear your voice, see your facial expressions, hear your inflections. Are you saying they're equivalent?
Well, let's say because people are not forced to be face-to-face with people they're having conversations with, just like every other digital communication, they're able to be much more open. You know, so they can actually talk about how they were molested as a child, or they can actually talk about how their child is dealing with, intense pressure from his friends to do drugs. There's a benefit. I would say not only openness is more likely, but because if they're saying, then they can simply just log off, you know, if things go bad. But accessibility is a value.
So,
you look at radio. I mean, people don't need to see your expression or my expression. They still get the word.
Yes, absolutely.
And it ultimately comes down to whether we like it or not. This is the way the world's going. And, that last 7% can really try to hold out, but slowly that 7% is going to become 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So... did I lose the argument here? I'm trying to figure out if I lost the argument. Are we saying that there is both an upside and a downside, or are you saying, you know what? I'm glad we've got cell phones. I'm glad we've got laptops. I'm glad we've got chat rooms. Bring it on. It's a whole new era. It's like the printing press back in Gutenberg's day.
Everything has upsides and downsides. Well, almost everything has upsides and downsides. The biggest question is, do the upsides outweigh the downsides?
That is the question.
And I suppose another question is, even if the downsides do outweigh the upsides, is there any way that we can prevent it? So either way, it's in a losing position to fight it, to fight technology. Instead, I would suggest that the church capitalize on it. Have online Bible studies. Have online chat rooms. Have Facebook communities where you have Bible verse of the day, and you encourage people to interact. Downloadable sermons on your websites. Have like I said earlier, online Bible studies, and you get things that people are interested in. And honestly, when you do that, since you said 90% of the world has access to the internet, holy smokes, what is that, 7 billion minus 700 million? That's well over 6 billion people on the planet that can check into www.zionmh.org and download sermons and all sorts of good stuff.
All right, let's introduce this particular story into our conversation here. This has appeared on the Christian Post website, written by Nathan Black, about a recent poll that says religion's influence in America is waning. The article says 7 in 10 Americans, 7 in 10, say religion as a whole is losing its influence on American life. This is a near-record high percentage since Gallup began asking the question more than 50 years ago. The highest recorded percentage of Americans who said religion was losing influence was in 1970, when 75% said so. Today, only a quarter of Americans see religion increasing its influence in American society. For much of the 53 years that Gallup has asked the question, Americans have been more likely to say that the influence of religion was waning. It wasn't until 2001, after the September 11th terrorist attacks, that there was a sharp reversal in views. That year, 55% of Americans said religion was increasing its influence on American life, while 40% said it was losing its influence. But the following year, and for the rest of the decade, views that religion was increasing in influence began to fade. According to the Gallup poll released Wednesday, 54% of Americans say religion is, quote, very important in their lives, down slightly from the past two decades. Meanwhile, the percentage of Americans who say religion is not very important continues to edge upward and is currently at 20%. When you hear statistics like this, do they matter to you, Pastor? Are you interested in them, or do you think it's just so much busyness?
Well, I think any sort of information is helpful. You know, just because 7 out of 10 Americans say religion is losing its influence in America doesn't necessarily mean that it's losing its influence in their lives. They just can look around and see, people in America, which the study's about, other people in America making decisions that are taking them straight into hell. I mean, you look at some of these shows that no Christian should watch, you know, like Family Guy or South Park, and these things just erode the faith, and they enjoy, and they turn it into humor, and they thrive on attacking the faith. And a friend of mine showed me the other day on his iPhone, one of his smartphones, he said it showed that there's a new urban slang out there, and it's called X-Max. And I said, what is X-Max? And they said, X-Max is just like Xmas, except it's intensely fun and not about the baby Jesus. Many people have experienced X-Max without understanding that it is truly Xmas to the max. You know that you're enjoying Xmas to the max when it is an intensely good time and nobody is talking about the baby Jesus. And you look at this stuff and you're thinking, whoa. So talking about Jesus is not fun. Helping people get off drugs is not fun. Helping people not go to divorce is not fun. Helping people not molest their kids is not fun. Helping people not cheat on their spouse is not fun. Helping people actually have their family around the Christmas tree instead of dead or in a drug house somewhere is not fun. At what point did the imbeciles take over our culture? And it all comes back to people walking away from the faith because they don't quite take it seriously. And this is the biggest danger. I will concede there is a huge danger in the digital age. People pick their own influences. So if I've got this uncle for a pastor or a cousin for a pastor who's always talking about Jesus and talking about like some sort of triumphant life, well, you know, I've heard it before, and I've got, you know, pretty hateful Christians in my life. So I'm just going to ignore my uncle and my cousin, and I'm just going to pay attention to my other friends, you know, the people who talk about X-Max and all this other junk that that people spread around the Internet. And I don't have to look at their arguments or their ideas too critically because they feel good. Well, I'm sorry, 6 years down the line, when you're dying on your hospital bed, you're still going to call the pastor because you realize there's more to life than just the next fix. But when people filter out their influences, that's the danger, because we're all going to filter out the ones that aren't fun, and we're going to keep the ones that are funny, exciting, thrilling, and dangerous.
Well, if that's true, and I think it is, I think you described it well, then the year we stopped talking, 2010, strikes me as a very bad sign. Because if we find a way to minimize or nearly eliminate all face-to-face conversation, with the exception of maybe one or two people, then we truly are in a position where we can organize our influences exactly the way we want, and we'll never really see or hear any opinions or thoughts that challenge where we are. That strikes me as bad.
Well, you know, with the digital age, because you can pick and choose your influences and the people you talk to, you're going to be increasingly selfish and increasingly self-focused, which means when somebody says, hey, you know, you should stop having sex before marriage because look at the research, and they can start quoting 50 or 60 studies that have been done on it that show conclusively and exclusively it's bad, you could just decide to turn off that channel or turn off that, you know, unfriend that person on Facebook. What that means is Christians and churches can no longer afford to be lazy or casual.
All right, let's continue this conversation on the other side of the break. We're discussing this Gallup poll that says religion is losing its influence in American society with Pastor Mark Femmel, Zion Lutheran Church, Maryland Heights. We'll be right back. You're listening to our Ask the Pastor Bible study, our last live Ask the Pastor of 2010. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. I'm Chuck Rathard. Our guest is Pastor Mark Femmel, pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights. We've basically dealt with two stories today. The first one, the cover page, the front page of USA Today, where the headline is "The Year We Stopped Talking." And by that, the article means to identify the fact that we are communicating, but we're just not talking to each other anymore. Texting, emailing, lots of chatting, but very little talking going on. Then we went on to talk about a poll that has been released by Gallup that says that the continued deterioration of people's perception of religion in American life is underway, has not been reversed here in the period of 2010. My question for you, Pastor, is do you see any links between the two? Less interpersonal relationship going on in the culture and probably in the congregation, and a declining level of influence for religion in America?
Well, you certainly see a decline of religious influence when people are just kind of casual Christians, when they just kind of show up on Sunday, they put in their time, and then they go back to their happy little lives and do the exact same thing they did the week before. What you don't see is you don't see religion declining in influence when people really take it seriously and are even willing to radically follow Jesus, if that means that they actually give up an hour of their night of watching TV to read the Bible, if they do something like go on a mission trip, if they try to do something like take care of a neighbor who lives next door and is a little older than they would like because they can't get up and do stuff. When people are involved in doing things that the faith calls us to do, those people live their lives radically different, feel much more fulfilled, are much happier, and they realize that having more means you can do more, as opposed to, although I have a lot, I don't have as much as I'd like, so I want more. It's just being less distracted and more focused on Christ. When people do that, the world looks entirely different.
Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Al is calling. Hi, Al. You're on the Bible study.
All right, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Doing well. And you?
Hi. Pastor, I wanted to ask you, like Gallup poll that Chuck just talked about and such, do you not see any correlation between that and this influx of technology? I want to stay on. Do you see any connection with that?
Pastor?
You're saying as far as people being more connected and having more ability to be connected?
No, I'm talking about people that are going away from the church and the decline in religion as a whole, which I think the Gallup poll was what that showed, wasn't it, Chuck?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, do you see any connection there with this technology age?
Well, people were doing this exact same thing in Europe. You know, in the past century, well before technology started to get increased. In fact,
sure,
with radio and TV,
right,
faith should have been increased. But same thing happened in Europe. That's happening here. People stop paying attention to what the Bible says. People stop paying attention to doctrine and the facts of the faith, and we let
right.
the skeptics we let the skeptics ramble on, and
right.
we don't bother to figure out what to say when the skeptics spread the lies.
Right, back then, but like now, okay, we're dealing now. All right, do you not see any correlation between these two as far as a comparison for the deterioration of religion?
I think the technology allows people to pursue selfishness a lot more. You know, like I said, you kind of filter out the things you don't want, and instead of, reading your
right.
Bible, you're searching YouTube for 3 hours looking for a fun video
right.
of a monkey on a jet ski or something.
Right.
What do you think, Al?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's had a very diverse effect, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, I can go to church here at our little church, and unfortunately, parents and such are to the point where they're so technology rich and such that they'll even allow their children in church to sit and just work on their little textings and stuff like that. I'm talking kids maybe 5 years old and such. My opinion on this is anybody can be a pastor on the internet, okay?
Yeah.
And you may be able to reach 90% of the people in this world with the internet, but like every other gift that God has given mankind, we will always take that gift, and it will lead to some form of destruction. And I think that's exactly what we've done with our technology. Technology is a great thing. But like I say, and you can reach the numbers. You can reach them, but what are you reaching them with?
All right. Thank you for the call. Any other thoughts, Pastor?
Well, you know, just like Al said, you know, every other gift that man's been given, we can turn it into something very bad. And, I mean, you look at the leading industry on the internet, it's pornography. That's clearly man doing things that are bad. But, you know, so instead of having the internet, we could use radio for evil. We could use, you know, wood for evil. We could use cars for evil. Just because something can be used for evil doesn't necessarily mean we should be afraid of it, because sin always finds a way.
Here's another caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Linda. You're on the Bible study.
Hi, Brother Radford. Hi, Pastor.
Hello.
The Sunday before Christmas, after church, our little church, not many of us, but we went to 3 nursing homes and caroled through the halls. And, you know, we walked the halls, and these people sitting in chairs and in wheelchairs and on walkers, you know, they're just sitting there dying of loneliness, and you're singing to them, and they're brightening up, and you're stopping to hug them, and say, I love you, and they're saying, I love you back, and that's, you know, that's Christ in his church. It's face-to-face, it's hands-on, and he clothes us with his glory. He clothes us with his love, and we carry that out into this hurting world, and, you know, we lit a fire in those people. They were in their walkers and wheelchairs. They're following us down the halls, and one lady, she says, I see Jesus in your eyes, you know. And nothing can pay you back for that. You know, nothing can amount to what gift they give back to you. And I mean, I don't know if that could ever happen through, you know, the
through
media.
Through texting?
Yeah, but I feel love when I listen to this radio station. I feel the love of you pastors. So I guess you could relay it that way, but sometimes you got to, you know, God has arms and they're ours, and he's got our eyes and our mouth to say, I love you.
All right. Let's see what Pastor has to say.
You.
Thank you for that call. Linda, Pastor?
You know, Linda, one thing I'd love to do is, if I had the money, is rent a billboard for a month or something like that on the side of the highway. And on one side it would say, good things Christians have given to the world. And it'd list, you know, charities and homeless shelters for the poor and rebuilding marriages and adoption services, and it would just be absolutely full. On the right side would be, you know, that'd be on the left side. On the right side would be good things atheists have brought into the world, and it would be blank. And see, Linda, when people are taking an opportunity, setting aside a few hours to go sing in a nursing home, I mean, goodness, notes on a page and words on a page, and people, just regular people, walking through a nursing home. You made that probably the greatest week those people have had in a long time. You know, now, could you do something? Could you do that text messaging? Well, in 50 years, you could certainly text message some loving things to people in nursing homes. They'll probably have their cell phones. But one thing that the internet allows for is this ministry called Love One Out. And it's a ministry to people who struggle with homosexuality. It is very difficult for someone who struggles with homosexuality, whether they're Christian or not, whether they're raised in the church or not, to walk into a church and talk to somebody who has the answers and has the love and the ability and the training to encourage them and to build them up and open up their life for them. But the anonymity of the website of Love One Out is so powerful, because it allows, in a non-threatening environment, people to do for people who struggle with homosexuality what you were able to do for people who are in wheelchairs. And it's all about, you know, whether we like technology or not, it's coming. Whether we welcome technology or not, it's coming. What we should do is say, how can the kingdom best use this?
All right, so what do you make of this? This is a story out of Jerusalem. As we talk about communication, interpersonal communication, face-to-face, eye-to-eye contact versus text messages and emails and chat rooms. Story from the AP says, iPhone users can now visit Judaism's holiest site from anywhere in the world. The Israeli Foundation that administers the Western Wall in Jerusalem has launched an iPhone application that streams live from the prayer site around the clock, except on the Jewish Sabbath and holidays, when transmissions are forbidden by Jewish law. The application allows users to email prayers to be placed in the crevices of the wall, which is a Jewish custom. It also includes a compass that allows users to pray in the direction of Jerusalem. Michael Ofer of the Western Wall Heritage Foundation says the application, quote, brings the Western Wall to every Jew in the world because it is the heart of the Jewish people, unquote. The wall, as most people know, is a remnant of the biblical Jewish temple. Is this a good thing or a bad thing, Pastor?
Well, I'm not Jewish, so I'm not a big fan of emailing your prayers to the wall.
What about people who are members of Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights who are shut in or confined to a nursing home but want to email a prayer to Pastor Femmel for worship this Sunday? Is that a good idea?
I think so. They do that all the time, actually.
I guess it comes down to this. Shortly after Jesus began his ministry in Palestine, he declared his message in some obscure village somewhere, and then he said to his disciples, let us go, because I must share this message, I'm paraphrasing here, in other towns and villages. Do you think Jesus would have just texted his messages into Nazareth and Capernaum and Samaria and Jericho and these towns if the technology had been available to him?
I don't think he would have given up face-to-face personal communications. But I'll say, you know, like in 100 years, let's say he came at a time where 98% of people sat in front of their computers unless they were asleep or in the bathroom. I don't think he would have gone around knocking on doors. If people were on their computers and that was the way to reach them, he would have done it. And he would have loved it. He would have done it in such a drastically different way than most people do it. You know, like when you can send an email. I can easily send an email to somebody and saying, you know what, your head has got to be the most upside down screwed on that I've ever seen anybody have their head screwed on. And then, you know, you need to stop, blah, blah, blah. Or I could do it in a very winsome way. And see, that, and that's my point. If we can try to do ministry over the Internet, and if we're not doing it very well, then we are falling short. But if we do things in a very winsome way, and we strategically and we thoughtfully think of ways to do ministry the best, just because it's not face-to-face, doesn't necessarily mean it's less. I would say you could actually do more.
Now, I realize, to be fair to you, that I've asked you to speculate about something that's completely unpredictable. There's no way to know if Jesus would have been a texter or not. But we do know this, that wherever Jesus went, at least during his time of popularity, that he drew crowds pretty much on foot from large surrounding areas, crowds that numbered in the thousands.
Yep.
Pretty hard to do that these days.
It was hard to do it those days, too.
Yeah, it was. But I think, I'm going to guess, that part of the reason that the crowds came were to see Jesus in person, to hear him speak in person. No doubt there were many gathered there wondering, hoping that they would see one of these miracles that Jesus had purported to do. But I don't think that we can downplay the interpersonal relationship that Jesus had with these large crowds that he drew. That was important, wasn't it?
Well, realize, though, that interpersonal relationship does not necessarily mean physical proximity.
Not necessarily, but I think that, for example, if you recall over your lifetime some of the best relationships that you've had, some of your best friends, maybe you don't see them much anymore. Maybe they were during your seminary days or your high school days. They were good friends because you were buddies, face-to-face buddies. You communicated, you talked. I think that people who think back 10 years from now about some of the people they really liked to text in high school, I just don't think that relationship is going to be as strong or as memorable. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, certainly physical proximity, you know, people that you're actually physically around, you have more potential to be around them and therefore interact with them. But, let's say somebody really wanted to talk to me. You know, some big thing's going on in their life, or they're just really bored, and they start posting things on my Facebook page. Well, I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to respond to it. I'm going to interact with them. And we, you know, if we start chatting, then we'll actually have probably a more substantial conversation than two people who work next to each other 8 hours a day. Because when they're digital, relationships, you are talking 100% of the time. One of my best friends, in high school and a little into college, was over the internet. Never met the person.
Boy, I tell you, you hang in there, Pastor. You do a good job of hanging in there. Now, the Temple Mount, the western wall of the ancient Jewish temple, while that is a sacred site, a very important holy place for Jews, it does have some meaning to Christians as well, does it not? I mean, we do have regard for the house of God as it is described for us in Old Testament days and Gospel days, do we not?
Well, you know, as a historical monument, absolutely. But as far as, is it a holier place than any other? Jesus made it pretty clear. He is replacing and doing away with the temple. So it'd be something like, like the ship that your grandparents came over as immigrants. Wow, that's awesome. That doesn't mean your grandparents still live there. It doesn't mean that you're going to go there and you're going to find your grandparents' shoes.
No, but I know a lot of people and pastors who have told me in an emotional way the power, the emotion that they felt by making a trip to Israel.
Sure.
To be on the shores of the Sea of Galilee.
Sure.
To go to the place where it is thought perhaps that Jesus was crucified, or maybe to the garden tomb where he was buried. And they come back changed because they were in those places where the Lord Jesus Christ is thought to have been.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe that the Western Wall is a magic wall, and I don't believe, I'm not going to turn it into some kind of an idol, but it is a sacred place. And look, if I want to send an email message to put in the crevice of the Western Wall, even though I'm a Christian, would that be okay?
Well, you know, Jesus says, I'm the temple. He is the temple. His body is the temple.
I'm not trying to replace Jesus here. I just want to send a message and have it stuck in the cracks of the Wailing Wall. Is that okay?
But see, Jesus says, not only am I the temple, but then he gives us the Spirit and he says, you're the temple. You are where God dwells. And so, you know, sending a prayer to the Western Wall would be like asking, you know, I suppose like a Roman Catholic to pray to St. Francis of Assisi for you. why would you need to augment or add on to Jesus? He says, talk to God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, one who is making the angels and the planets and the universe and setting the sun in the light. And he says, call me Father. You know, it's, why go through a brother or a nephew or a cousin or a friend to talk to your dad when your dad's done everything great and has every reason to, you have every reason to talk to him yourself?
Suppose that I'm a member of Zion Lutheran Church, Maryland Heights, Missouri. And I'm listening to this bozo Chuck prodding and poking around on Pastor Femmel. I say to you in church on Sunday, but I don't know how you put up with him, Pastor. Actually, there are people who have told their pastors that. I know that for a fact. I don't know how you put up with that guy. Boy, I tell you what, he just wouldn't let up, would he? But I got to tell you, Pastor Femmel, you know, I Googled that Western Wall thing. I found that video site, and I went to it. I looked at it, and it was pretty powerful. I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, I felt a kind of an emotion. I felt an emotional response as I was able to sit in my den at my computer and look at the activity in the Western Wall. Would you be disappointed in me, Pastor?
I would.
You keep chuckling here. I'm not so sure what it is that I'm saying that's so amusing, but.
I would say, you know, you could be fascinated with the Western Wall, but I'll tell you what, if you really want to see people engaged in their religion, which isn't yours, but their own religion, let's go check out the people who are running around in the counterclockwise circle at the Dome of the Rock in Mecca. You know, that's moving. Or maybe we can go check out the Shaolin monks as they break pieces of iron in honor of their Buddhist tradition. I mean, you know, that's more impressive. I'd rather see a Shaolin monk break a brick on his face than watch some guys with beers and long sideburns sticking paper into the wall.
I agree with you. But I think you and I may be the exception.
Well, true. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people might be fascinated with traditions and with other religions, but you got to remember Jesus replaced the temple. Remember, it's the temple who rejected Jesus. It's the temple who caused the crowds to say, "Crucify him, crucify him." It's the temple which God destroyed through the Romans in 70 AD, exactly the way Jesus said they would. And it's the temple that God's going to replace on the last day when we get something more beautiful than the Garden of Eden or the temple ever could have been. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. I want to see that.
We got about a minute left here. You think you'll ever Skype the worship services at Zion Maryland Heights, Pastor, so people who aren't particularly comfortable with interpersonal face-to-face communication can just kind of watch what you do there at Zion on the Internet? Then they don't have to come. They can just be part of the family electronically.
You know, and that's, you know, if that day comes where that is the best way to reach people, then it is imperative that the church do that. However, I think it'd be very difficult to have, home communion. You know, at this point, please hold up your single size serving communion wafer and a cup of wine, and move your computer monitor in the shape of a cross over it. You know, and now on the count of three, let's all take, go. You know, it's. That would be the difficult thing. People are always enriched when they come to the Lord's house because they're not just sitting in front of their computer. But if the word goes out in a more powerful way than we're able to do it on Sunday morning and in a more accessible way, it's required for the church to reach people where they are.
Pastor Femmel, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, God's blessings to the people at Zion, Maryland Heights.
And you as well, and everybody else from KFUO.
Talk to you next year.
Sounds good.
Pastor Mark Femmel, our guest here on Ask the Pastor. Tomorrow's Bible study and Ask the Pastor programs are pre-recorded. No live phone calls tomorrow. We'll talk to you in January.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.